Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right, so let's get into the word. Today we want to talk about Thanksgiving. Amen. You people don't look grateful. You don't look happy. If you are grateful, you should be happy. Amen. This is something we do once in a year. Amen. So we are coming to thank God for everything that happened through the years. And I don't expect somebody to have one face looking like he's sad with God. I don't expect anybody to look like that. I expect everybody to look happy. Maybe we'll sing this hymn. Count your blessings, name them one. How many of you wrote the things God did for you this year? You wrote them down. I think we did something, a flyer. We say, think about God's faithfulness. Some of you don't read flyer, you just post it. If you had done that, you'd have been very excited. Because many people today may be majoring on what they don't have. Alright? And just look down on what they have. You know, when we're growing up, almost every child did that. If your dad gives you... Now, it's more of a taboo even if you're a thief person, self. Your dad or mom gives you meat during... food. You were eating with your dad or mom and they gave you meat. And you don't like the size of the meat. Then you now kind of bone your face. That's like a taboo. You know, the worst of it all is that you are eating, you now even touch, you are taking the soup around the meat. How many of you are there for you? Just romancing meat, you know. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's a way they look at you and warn you that in fact this one you have now they won't call. But you just look like they gave you, they are now excited that you have gratitude. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are a good person. You know, gratitude kind of portrays somebody's character. If you are an ungrateful person, you are a bad person. You are a proud person. In fact, you are a stupid person. When you are ungrateful, people think you are stupid, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Imagine you give somebody money and you say, this money is not enough. You must be stupid.
Exactly.
Because I didn't even owe you anything. You know, you wanted probably 10,000 and I gave you 5,000 and you're like, it's not enough. You didn't even laugh. You are like, I'm still waiting. Any normal human being will slap you.
Normal, sir.
Or drive you away, alright? That's why you should never have anything to do with a lady that has no gratitude. I mean, she needs money to make her hair and she didn't meet her father and she met you rather. If the hair was very important, why is her father not doing it for her? She didn't go to her father and she came to you. Are you listening? And you gave her, she said the pay is 100,000. You now give her 5,000. For instance. Did you not try? You tried because she didn't earn it. She didn't deserve it. You just gave it to her. What is she supposed to do as a good, decent lady? But if she's angry that instead of 100,000 you give her 5,000, what should you do to such a woman? You collect it and tell her to go home. Ladies, are you happy? Are you happy? You should be happy. If you are not happy, you are sick. Because, for instance, I've started teaching, you know, make sure this part is in the message. I mean, you are angry that they gave you 5,000. Who told you were supposed to be giving money? What of your own money? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you see, that entitlement mentality makes you look. That's why when men who are reasonable, you know, they can't marry foolish women. You know, I saw a post on Facebook. A lady said, "I don't like responsible men." They asked her why. She said, "Because responsible men don't give money anyhow." She said, "It is irresponsible men that give money anyhow." I had to clap for myself because I'm a responsible man. You meet a responsible man that earns 250,000. He say, "I need 100,000. You will break up. You say, "For what?" You say, "For my hair." What inspires such a man? "I want to start a tailoring business." Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that's just, by the way, we're using that to explain some certain kind of human beings that don't have gratitude. Are we together? That's how you look before God. I'm going to show you from Luke 17. Can you remember that story where Jesus prayed for some folks that were sick, right? Were they from Samaria or Galilee? Galileans are more of Jews, right? And Samaritans are quite mixed. So they are not entirely real Jewish people. So they are Galileans. Because I remember he called one of the persons a foreigner. He said a foreigner came and said thank you. Can you remember the story? I think it's around Luke 17. We should start from this somehow. Luke 17 verse 13 thereabout. Hallelujah to Jesus. In verse 13 the Bible said they all came and spoke with a loud voice, shouting, "Son of man, have mercy on us." Loud voice. And when God did it for them, he now said, "Go to a priest and report yourself." Isn't it? Not because the priest was the one that will get them finally healed. No. But in their culture, you know, they had a case. What was the case? Leprosy, isn't it? In their culture, the only person that gives a certificate of affirmation that you are now certified, healed from leprosy or freed from leprosy was a priest. Now, while I was reading that many years ago, I think I told myself that when God is done touching you, it's not bad to go and check if the miracle happened in the hospital. I use that to back that understanding. Because some people pray and they say, it's done. And they don't go and check. You know, you had cancer, you had HIV and AIDS, you had any kind of disease that is deadly, and you had faith that God would touch you. And after having faith, then you just slept and say, "God has touched me, I believe in the name of..." Now, yes, nobody is doubting your faith. But go and what? Check to see if truly your faith has what? Prevailed. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? And so Jesus doing that taught us that it's okay to go and check after having a lot of faith. Are we together? Because I had a case like that. Someone, should I say mistakenly, or I don't know which word to even use. But the case came to me that the person had an affair with a lady who was HIV positive. And when they told him to go and check himself, he said he has faith that nothing is wrong with him. So I said when the case came to me, I had to call because I knew the person from base. I said, "Yes, your faith has prevailed, but go and check. Just check, eh?" He said, no, that... If he checks, it is a sign that he doesn't believe. I said, okay. Now, such a person can die ignorantly because he has not even repented. There's pride. It's still pride. Hallelujah to Jesus. So it's not bad to check. And I remember I told people one time that I was praying for my newly born baby, and the Lord gave me a word while I was praying because they said she had jaundice. So while I was coming from a burial, my grandfather's burial, so I rushed to the hospital immediately. And I held her and I spoke in other tongues and I prophesied that tomorrow it's cleared. You know, I wanted my faith to, you know, I didn't care. I have a very brutal faith. And I knew it would work, but a voice spoke to me while I was prophesying that I was rather hearing myself saying she will respond to treatment. So I refused to accept that word. I said, "No. Tomorrow morning, everything entirely is gone. No sign." But a voice still kept on saying she will respond to treatment. So instead of prophesying, I now mistakenly said she will respond to treatment. And I said, "No, in the name of Jesus, Tomorrow morning, everything is cleared. So, the next morning, I wanted to hear the reports. It was 60% jaundice, but they said it was reduced to 20%. And the doctor said they've never seen that kind of thing before. The reduction is really massive. Now, I was not pleased because I wanted it to what? Vanish. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Then God spoke to my heart. He said, I want you to respect medicine and teach your people how to respect medicine. I think I said it here before. He said, because if I do it like that, you will not have regards for doctors. And I want you to believe that health is very important. And when I checked it so deeply, I really don't have concern so much for. I don't really check myself. I don't really have regards for doctor's report. Some people here who work in health sector, they've encountered me sometimes, like somebody that works where they do teeth something. One time I had a case, so I rushed there. It was so severe, it was paining me, and I wanted the solution. When I entered there, they said I will remove the teeth, and I said if I remove my teeth, it will be funny because if I smile now, people will see that one of my teeth is removed. And secondly, they now said it was over 30,000. So I said 30,000 to remove my teeth. They say yes. All right. And I wanted to get a car that time. I was saving for a car. So I said, no, if I remove this 30,000, I will not be able to get this car. And I was supposed to buy that car that same day. In fact, my guys were in Lafayette about to take the car. So if I remove the 10,000, I will wait another day. And I said to the lady, all right, I'm coming. She said, okay, so we're expecting you will get everything set for the operation. I said, no problem, just get everything set. I'm coming back. As I left there and went to the house, placed my hands on my teeth, I said, get repaired now in the name of Jesus. In 2 days, everything wiped off. Now, I'd seen God like that several times, and you know, even though God's faithfulness is being seen somehow, on the other hand, there is no regard for medicine. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And somehow, the way I even speak about the miracle power of God in terms of healing, I have no regards. You know, when I was growing up, doctors didn't like to hear me. Students that were reading medicine, they didn't like to, you know, they were not cool being roommates with me. I had some roommates who were doctors to be. They were not happy around me. Some of them are graduate now in BSU. They were not really happy because I speak like I have no single regard. And sometimes when they are sick, I pray for them and they are healed. They always come for me to pray for them. So I always use it when I don't pray. I don't pity. When I pray for you, I don't tell you that, you see, this is your profession. It's nothing compared to the Holy Ghost. So, you know, I don't know. I just get them intimidated so well. When I'm even preaching and I see them enter, I will face them and focus on them very well. And tell them how that they need to be serious with their life. Because they don't like church. Most of them. They think that reading medicine is a total permission to abstain from church. And me, where I grew up, I saw people reading medicine and coming to church. So I was telling them that I've seen great doctors, but and they are even pastors. You know, some of them left the profession, they are pastors, but they didn't drive them away. They graduated. Are we together? So that thing grew over time. I remember one time they called me, my mother was sick. One of them suggested that they rush her to the hospital. And I said, yeah, but I can speak words before tomorrow morning. She'll be okay. He said, but you are not there. I said, distance is not a barrier in the realm of the spirit. So I now touch him on his head. I said, you will not understand these things. You are just a doctor. He felt so bad. He didn't tell me that day. It was like months later. He said, remember one day? He said, that thing paid me very well. But since you are a man of God, I could not say anything. And, you know, that's how my respect for medicine grew. Hallelujah to Jesus. So don't be so much in faith that you disregard medicine. Sometimes you go check yourself, check your eyes, check your... Do you know what I'm trying to say? Know what is happening. Not that you wake up. Every part of my body is sound. But meanwhile, your eyes are on screen 24/7. You are watching light, looking at your phone 24/7. You know that's dangerous to your eyes, isn't it? And yet you are declaring, my whole body is whole. But you are breaking some laws that will make sure your eyes are not okay. That's why in most phones they have what they call screen time. You can check to see whether you have made your phone an idol. And other phones, they have some application that can regulate the light so that it doesn't affect your eyes and other areas. You know, like Coca-Cola. If they told me there's one time I would stop taking Coca-Cola, I would have not believed Coca-Cola product. I would have not believed it, but I stopped because it's not healthy. Before I had read those several times, I would read, I would laugh. I would now say, get me Coke. Pastors knew that time. I remember some of them were looking worried. You know, if you want to see Pastor Simon, they say if you want to make him happy, just carry a big jar of Coke. If you just enter his office, he'll start smiling. So every time people come to visit me, it's Coke in the office. Until one time, I was just thinking. So I said, let me just look at this thing. You know, to worsen it more, I went for a checkup and they said my sugar level was low while I was taking Coke. So I said, so what do I need to do to make my sugar level high? He said, take this. He now mistakenly said especially Coke. He didn't know me. He said especially Coke. I told the doctor, nice one. So I went back and made sure I stocked my whole small fridge with Coke. But one day I woke up, I said, this is not right to my system. You know, I want to live up to 100 years and the rest. I said, this is not right. We are breaking laws and we're expecting to live long. It's not right. I've seen people who are 100 years and I'm shocked. They look very healthy. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Yes. So I said to myself, I want to look healthy like this at this age. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, you will not just focus on your spirit, you will focus on your body too. So I said to myself, from today, no more Coca-Cola product, Coke, Pepsi. Those are sometimes I take it once in a while, but it's almost ignorable. No more. So you should learn all of these things. Are we together? As faith people, it doesn't mean you will not respect medicine. I believe, even though man did not fall, somehow, God would have guided us in the way we should eat things. Are we together? And that's just a little part. That's some little part of medicine. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah, he would have guided us on what to eat. We'll not just enter Eden and be eating mango alone. You know, you have pie. I'm sure the Holy Spirit would have guided us not to be eating just mango or pineapple, or, you know, he would have guided us on what to truly eat and how to truly eat. Are we together? You think that in Eden, if you eat only semo, you don't have kwashoko. You will still have. If you eat only carbohydrate too much, what will you have? Kwashoko. Your stomach will be big. Your head will be, you'll be big too. Your neck will be thin. Hallelujah to Jesus. Somehow you would have been there. So have you learned something around there? So I was going somewhere and they came back to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. They came back to Jesus and they thanked Jesus. You know, you observe with a loud voice, right? They lifted up their voice. Now, go to verse 15. See what then happened. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice again. Only one returned with a loud voice. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God. There were how many? 10 of them. Only one came back. As our men can be. It's not today that men were not showing gratitude, have this problem of ingratitude. Amen. Even to Jesus our God, it happened with him. He got 10 folks healed. And I'm going to show you the power of thanksgiving somehow in this story. 10 folks healed. They checked themselves. When they affirmed they were healed, they left. A lot of people in church like that. They come to church only when they have problem and they will lift their voice and shout. You see their desire for a change. When it's done, when the doctor affirms it's done, the church will not know it's done. Hallelujah to Jesus. Heard a report of a man from a dear man of God. He said the man came, asked the man, please pray for me. There's this contract. If I have it, my life will change. And I'm telling you, I'll make sure this ministry gets to the next level financially. Pastor said, calm down. I'm not after your promise. In fact, even if you don't do this thing, God will still heal you. Have faith. Lift your hands. He prayed for him. Not the healing, I mean the contract. He got the contract in Abuja. I heard the story. When he got the millions, you know, came to him. Then the pastor was wondering whether the prayer did not work. Because he said in his work with God, he had hardly prayed for somebody that did not come back and say the thing worked. So he was so worried and disturbed because he had been praying. After laying hands on him, he still was praying in his inner chambers. Are we together? And one time he decided to call the man. He said, the thing we prayed about, has God done it? I was just wondering because I have been praying about it too. He said, Pastor, sorry, I forgot. God did it though. He did it. In fact, he did it that week. He said, you did not even send me a text message that God did it so that I would stop praying and thank God too. You left me for over a month to be praying as if I'm not anointed. He said, no, Pastor, he did it. I'll call you back. Then he ended the call. The pastor started smiling. He said he actually was not expecting anything from the man. He just wanted to be sure that God answered his prayers. Because the man was looking scattered. He was crying in the office that his colleagues were against him, blah, blah, blah. This contract would change his life, blah, blah, blah. And he prayed out of mercy. And of course, our merciful God touched the man. But he didn't come back. You know, a lot of people in this church that would have promised God 1,000 sitter, 3,000, 100,000 sitter. God, if you make me rich, I swear, I go change church. I go build a church. And they are wondering why it seems as if the more they pray, the more they are broke. For some, the more they pray, the more they promise God. You know, some are funny. They say, I have a covenant with God that if... Let me just help you in that aspect. Because some people that have broken their covenant, they think they are under a curse now. You know, there are some folks that think they can create a covenant with God. Have you heard people like that? They say, I had a covenant with God that I'm going to be celibate till I'm married. Alright? And now that's God's will for you, that you have nothing to do with a man before you're married. Alright? But you know what is wrong in this statement? That you have a covenant with God. Are we together? That you created a covenant. That's what is wrong in the whole of this thing you said. Not that being celibate, you are married, is bad. But you are saying you had a covenant with God that you're going to be celibate, you are married, and if that happens, and if you, in fact, you are the one that will create the terms and conditions. If I disobey you, God, kill me. It's funny. People do that, those kind of things. That I have a covenant with God that I will never do this, blah, blah. A lot of covenant people have with God. You cannot have a covenant with God outside what Jesus has done. Are we together? Else, you are joking with your life. And to be sincere, you are not actually joking with your life. Just that a lot of times, Satan takes advantage of your ignorance and deals with you. There are some people that when it seems as if they've broken the covenant with God in their heart, so they did not start. You know, God is not in the covenant, but they created it in their heart by themselves and they now break it. When it seems like they've broken it, the condition they set now, they will think is upon them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So now they'll be expecting God to punish them somehow because they had said in the covenant that if I break it, let this happen to me. Let that happen to me. And when it doesn't happen, they are wondering. And some of them, you know, if it's not actually something physical, they will think somehow something is pursuing them. You know, I've seen people that come to my office and say, sir, I have near success syndrome. One young boy one time, he said he has the spirit of near success syndrome. So I said, how did you know? He said two or three times, anytime it's about hitting a deal, then the people just change their mind for no reason. So I said, then who now said you have near success syndrome spirit? I mean, whatever you call it. He said, sir, I just feel like he's following me from our house. And I said to him, nothing is following you. Alright? That's not your own. Keep on praying. Your own will come. Are we together? So there are people that think in such funny ways. So there's a young man I used to know. This is where I used to be. Don't convince me now. It's not my preaching. This is where I was. He made a mistake. A terrible mistake. He had this lady that was... that is why you should be disciplined. Don't be a hypocrite. The lady was inviting him to church, not mosque, church. And One time she now went to his house. What kind of invitation is that? You are inviting somebody to church. You now go to his house. He lives alone. What are you going to do there? What kind of invitation is that? She now entered his house to invite him again to church. He has been hearing you. He did not come. Wait till carry you going house. A student that stays alone, a young man, you enter his house to invite him to church. After reminding him on campus several times, he did not hear, talking to him every day. You have an agenda in his life. So she went to his house and she was persuading him that today he must come to church. And he said, okay, let's see about it. Then he now tried to take his bath. She was still in the room waiting for him. And you know, student room is one room, no space. When he came back, he said they were now joking. You see, the spirit of the devil is very cunning. He will create joke at the wrong time. Somebody is with Towe and you are joking. What are you joking about? All this why you are not joking. Okay. So beware of some of the jokes you joke. And at the times you joke those jokes. Do you know what I'm trying to say? You are single every time you are calling somebody, my sweetheart, sweetheart, how are you? What kind of a joke is that? Sometimes check yourself. There are some brothers, when they say baby, you say, I will wound you. Some brothers, when they say baby, you say, why do you like this joke? Because he's your spec. Check yourself. And he said to me, Pastor, the last thing I remember was the joke we joke. After it, everything happened. Then he was crying. Early in the morning in my house. He said, now his star is blocked. He said, so whatever God wants to do in his life, God will not do it because he has broken the covenant. He had a covenant with God. So I looked at him. You know what now is interesting me the most? Is this covenant he's talking about that I'm even shocked at, more than even the sin. So I said, which covenant did you have? Because he said, sir, should be they say if you do that kind of thing, then your life is the star that God put for you, the destiny will scatter immediately. So he said, what God has put in my life now has scattered. So this course I'm reading now, I don't want to call the department before some of you start doing calculation. This course I'm reading now, that means I will not even graduate. I said, says who? I left that. I said, actually, you have been foolish for doing that. It was a big mistake. You would have not allowed that to come to your house and, of course, be guarded from henceforth. But I said to him, nothing like that has happened. You're chipping God to Satan or Amadioha when you talk like that. Are we together? It's Amadioha that will tell your old boys that when you make money, don't give to your brother or sister. He will give them some condition. Not our God. Are you guys getting out trying to explain to you? Very important. Now, am I saying, I'm affirming that you live that kind of life? No. If you truly know God, you cannot continue in your sin. 1 John 3 and 6. Are we together? But what if you make a mistake? 1 John 2. Before we go to verse chapter 3. The Bible said, little children, when you make a mistake, know that you have an advocate with God. A mediator in Christ Jesus. Meaning Jesus has already pleaded your cause. Even for futuristic sin. Listen carefully so that you don't miss me. Now, am I saying that sin in the future so that God will forgive you? If you have such a mentality, then you don't understand grace. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You don't understand grace. Let me give you the analogy with Peter, the apostle. Remember, he said to the master, if you are truly the one, let me walk on water with you. And Jesus said, okay, go ahead. Walk on water. He started walking on water, isn't it? And somehow there was some shaking within the water. And he was looking at the storm, isn't it? Alright, the shaking downwards. And because his gaze was no longer on Jesus, his attention was now on the situation around. What happened? He began to sink, isn't it? Now, what did Jesus do? Did he leave him sinking? No. What did he do? He reached out to him and helped him to walk again on water, isn't it? Walked again on water. And he told him that, why were you scared? Your faith is small. Is that not what Jesus said? For Jesus to look at somebody sinking, help the person, and still say, your faith is small for sinking, simply means that the status quo, I mean, the what Jesus sees as normal for a Christian is not that the person should keep on sinking, and he, Jesus, always trying to reach out to the person and bring him out of the situation. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Meaning God did not design man that he should be sinking every time in sin and he's taking him out from sin. God designed you to walk on water. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? This is what I mean. That God forgives your sin every time you sin does not mean he's proud of your faith to sin and that you are forgiven. No. He expects you to live and walk on water. Meaning he expects you to live a life of no sin all the days of your life. But anytime you sin, he will still reach out to you and help you. But is that a supposed realm for you? No. What is his realm for you? He wants you to walk on situations. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because even if he's reaching out to you and helping you out of the situation, he's still saying that your faith is small. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? And always sinking and God helping you will not capacitate you as one that God can use. That is why if you look at scriptures, the Bible said, in a great house are several vessels. Isn't it? Several vessels. He said, some of gold, some of clay. Then he said, a man decides what kind of a vessel that he becomes. He said, if a man purges himself of what? The latter. He becomes a what? Profitable for the master. Meaning you determine it. Are you here tonight? Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So God doesn't want you in sin. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor that. He has designed you to walk in glory. Glory to God forevermore. Let me teach on thanksgiving. Let me be disciplined. The concept of thankfulness in the New Testament comes from the use of two Greek words. The first is charizomai, which comes from the word charis or charizomai. I said charizomai like in Nigeria. Charizomai. Charizomai. Which comes from the word charis. Charis simply means grace. The second is homologio. It simply means to confess or to acknowledge. You should be familiar with the word homologio. Homologio. Logio has to do with speaking. Homo has to do with the same time. To confess, to acknowledge. Alright? So thankfulness is a mental or verbal expression of one's acknowledgement and appreciation of God's person and God's grace. God's person, God's grace, God's blessing, and his sovereign work in one's life and in the world. So anytime you are thanking God, you are acknowledging his grace, his power, his mightiness in your life and in a situation. Are we together? Are you listening to me? Reduce it and change, be in the spirit. Change what you are playing. Amen? Are you here tonight? Anytime you are thanking God, you are acknowledging his grace in a specific area, in your life, in a circumstance. That's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. It said, rejoice always. It didn't stop there. Continue. It said, pray without ceasing. Let's continue. It said, in everything, give thanks. It said, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Meaning, in every situation you find yourself, acknowledge God's grace, acknowledge God's person, acknowledge God's sovereignty in the situation. The Bible did not say, thank God for bad situation. It said, thank God in bad situations. They are two different things. Meaning, even if you are in a bad situation, thank God for his grace that can change the situation for your good. Are you people getting out trying to explain to you? Very important. He didn't say, be grateful that the bad thing happened. He said, but you can start thanking God in the situation because you already know the will of God, that this is not God's will for you. And if you know the will of God and the power of God, it can work together the bad situation and be thanked for your good. That's why I said, in all circumstances, give thanks to God, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Thanksgiving is so powerful. You get out of any situation in life through thanksgiving. I mean, the Holy Spirit started teaching me this and it blessed me so much. I couldn't stop reading whatever I wrote from last night. I don't think I've even been faithful in that area of thanksgiving. You know, when you are full of light, you just be... But you need to learn how to thank God. It's the way you affirm His grace, His power, His person, His sovereignty in any situation. Are we together? Are you all here? Hey, church, are you here? It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks. Other renditions say, giving thanks, meaning your rejoicing and your prayers should be hinged on giving thanks to God in any situation. Is it because this is God's way for you in Christ Jesus? Learn to give thanks in any situation. And you see, it doesn't just boil down to this. It stems from somewhere. The Bible says in Romans 8:26. Can we read? Romans 8:26. Then to your neighbor say, don't sleep. It's the devil. Don't your neighbor, look at your neighbor's face, say, don't sleep. Is a devil. If you leave this place now, you go and watch episodes. So it's a proof that it's a devil. The devil doesn't like you to hear the word of God. Then likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. What is that weakness? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. Life is so ambiguous. You don't know 5 minutes to a situation, you don't actually know what is going to happen, isn't it? Alright? But the Bible says we have an advantage. It says, for we do not know what to pray as we ought to. It says, but the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession. If you observe, we broke the law of English here. The Spirit there had to be capital letter because we're talking about God. Are we together? It says, but the Spirit of God Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Come, go. Him, that, care, boy, kill. I'm uttering words, isn't it? But when I'm like, Libro Hanja Brahazuvrahai. These are groanings. Which aren't words that can be uttered. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, we are not foolish people when we pray in other tongues. We didn't design ourselves. Alright? Just like a generator did not design itself. A scientist. Can you go and meet scientists and say, I don't want generators to make sounds? They will tell you, okay, provide another way it can work. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? For we, this is how we work. This is how we function. It's not foolishness. We've seen glory in these things. Are you listening to me? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it said, God chooses the weak things of the world to conform the wise. He said, God chooses the foolish things of the world to conform the wise. Now, look at what God will use. Reba, ba, 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 to solve somebody's situation who is in a very chronic situation. Health, circumstance, and etc. And the person is wondering, it doesn't make any sense. That's what that scripture means. He uses the foolish things of the world to what? Conform the wise. You think God designed you to have a problem, break your leg one day, break your head one day, get your wife should be dead one day, your children should be dead one day, your son to have cancer one day. You think that's it? I cannot predict, you know, I may not be able to predict 5 minutes from now for your life, for anybody's life. But if I pray in the Spirit, the Bible says something happens. So I said, whatever scripture we read in 1 Thessalonians is hinged on this particular scripture. Your being as a new creation and the functionalities of the Holy Spirit on your inside, who is your capacity as a new creation. It says, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now see the next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. I thought we read 26. Go to 27. We want to build. It says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints, how? According to the will of God. You see? The Holy Spirit, when you pray in other tongues, you give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to pray for you and align your life according to God's intention for your life. God's purpose for your life. Are you listening to me, people of God? Very important too. The Bible then says in verse 28, it says, when we are done with all of these things, is it then we will know? So you see, this is not for everybody. We that understand praying in the Spirit, we that understand the functionality of the Holy Spirit, he said, when we are done satisfying the first two scriptures, which are probably our laws, are we together? He said, then we will know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Remember 27 said, the Holy Spirit prays for you according to the will of God for your life. So when you pray in the Spirit, verse 28 can be satisfying your life. Then you will now know in any circumstance that all things work together for your good. And that way you can give God praise and thanksgiving in all seasons. In any circumstance. Even where we just came from. Let's go back there. 1 Thessalonians. Just that I'm trying to make it understandable from the back end or deeper. It says, where did we start from 16? We started from 16. It said, rejoice always. This is a form of prayer. Look at the next part of scripture. It then says what? Pray without ceasing. Meaning if you are in prayer, you are in the Spirit, you must rejoice. If you see somebody always looking sad like you now, you are not in the Spirit. You are a loser already. Meaning your facial expression tells if you are a loser or a winner. I tell people, don't look serious. You think when you look serious, you are actually more serious than me that is smiling. We have been smiling for many years. Some people, you know, when my wife was about to give birth, a friend called me and we're gisting. So one of my in-laws came around and said, Pastor Simon, if people are coming back, maybe you should get bread for me. And he now thought it was my wife. So he jokingly said, don't get bread though. It's not good for somebody that is pregnant. I said, okay, I'll give her so that you talk with her. He didn't know it's my mother-in-law. So I wanted to set him up. So I gave her the food. I said, tell her, you are talking to my mother-in-law. He said, Jesus Christ, you know, he's your mother-in-law, blah, 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 mommy, sorry, so blah, blah, blah. So I said, he said, what are you doing in the hospital? I said, my wife is in labor. He said, there, Jesus, and you are talking to me, smiling and laughing? I said, yes. He said, no, you are not serious, Pastor. I said, what do you mean by I'm not serious? He said, be serious, cut the call, and be praying. I said, I have prayed. And I've finished praying. What should I do again? Shouldn't I gist? The Bible says when we pray and we allow the Holy Ghost help us pray. Here's some music. Pray till you see the baby coming out. Baby, how come? Thank you, Jesus. No. No. You have a problem in your office, they now say, pray till you see an answer. So you'll be praying. Jababa. You go to the office the next day. Jababa. They say, why are you praying? The problem has not been solved. Jababa. You're having a meeting. Yo, go. They will drive you from the office. They say, why are you praying? Say, my answer have not come. I pray till something happened. No. No, that's not how you pray in the New Testament. You pray till you receive a note of victory. What's that note of victory? You just have this peace in your spirit. Not those fake peace when you are hearing God for your speck. You understand what I'm trying to say? Those lie speak. When God says, some of you can lie very well. You want to marry somebody, you now go and tell God, God, is he my husband? You now say, oh, I heard yes, I have peace. Why would you not have peace? Why you heard yes for the person you like? Not that kind of peace. And most of you in that situation, before you know, the real trouble will start happening. Just give it like 3 months. Trouble on every side. So when you pray in the Spirit, somehow the Bible says, we have received the fervent of the Spirit. An impulse, something. He just speaks to you in a very wonderful and personal way. Some people say, how does he speak? You have to pray to know how he speaks to you personally. If you are not there, you cannot understand. Somehow you just receive a note of victory. Then you stop praying. He told you it's done. Now if he says it's done, don't try to be getting it done again. You are walking in unbelief. He just said it is done. Even in this case we just spoke about in Luke 17, do you know that when Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priest, the Bible said while they were going to the priest, they now observed they were healed. Meaning they were not actually healed before they started going to the priest. And you people get on trying to say. God said, Jesus prayed for them. Say, go show yourself to a priest. It was while they were walking to go and show themselves to a priest. I'm sure they were wondering. As they were walking in faith, suddenly some of them observed they were healed. And you people get on trying to explain. Even the wedding feast at Cana, when he told them to fetch water, he said, go and serve it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible says, why they say putting? You see, if you want to work with Jesus, you look crazy sometimes. You know, even you will not understand at some point before you start understanding. Imagine you are one of the 12. They say, go and serve people water in place of wine. You're already ready with your apology in your heart. And so in case you say, I'm so sorry, sometimes Jesus misbehaved. We don't know what is wrong with you. But why they were pouring, even them, they were shocked. They saw the thing, wine. Now what are we fresh? Now why will they pour? You know, it was so shocking. So that when Jesus said, go and start a business now, you are not saying, oh, you are giving money. Go and start. Meaning start making the plans. Are you even getting what I'm trying to say? Some of you, that's why 2024, nothing happened to you. Nothing. Because when God told you, you are starting a business, so where money? Nothing. What of plan? Did you make research? You say, I want to become the best tailor that's ever hit the earth. Even the one, the best that I've ever hit Ikpayongu, you have not become. Because no research. People, there are many more than you in Ikpayongu. Those that started sewing from 1970, 1960, those mothers are even better than you. If they sew dress, we'll prefer it more than you. You have never gotten 3-star correct in your life. You end up quarreling with your customers. You know, some people will never be rich because of their character. They say, sow this one, you sow that one. Then you now correct. Instead of apologize. They say, the gold are mine, the gold can never be yours. Because you are creating enemies around. You don't have friends. You know, one time, one of my sisters, you know, I'm in big soup. Because anytime anybody does anything, if they don't observe their mutual friend with me, they report to me. If you check my DM on Prophet Simon's page, you will see messages complain. So she messaged me one time, said, there are some, I said, I don't know these people. I said, but they are your mutual friends. I said, I still don't know them. They are just mutual friends. And your sister, sir, I celebrate grace. You are a wonderful man and we respect you. Sir, but your sister is doing something I don't like. So what is it? I bought Sozo thing from her. And sir, you can't believe that. She gave me the wrong girl. And when I complained, she was talking to me anyhow. Sir, if it's not because of I respect you. I did not answer the message. So I called my sister. I said, what is happening? She now sent me the chat. She has insulted my sister. She said, if it's not because I respect you, I would have not insulted. But she has already finished insulting. Oh. What was the case? She ordered something that she actually changed her mind. Alright, according to what I heard. Amen. So she said she should wabble it back and whatever, they started having some little dispute. Are we together? So I said to my sister, just collect. She said, no, me, if I collect now, I'll be decided. I said, don't worry, I will add the money. Just collect. I said, collect because you are trying to build customer base. If this woman tell 10 people that you are a bad person, 10 people will not buy from you. So do her pamper ahead. Tell her sorry. He said, if she like that, she cannot stop. I said, that's how you talk. You are still young. Just make peace. And she listened to me and made peace with her. Very important. The Bible says, live peaceably with all men. God that said it is not foolish. He said what? Live what? Peaceably. With what? At the end of everything, you will understand that no grudges does not matter. It's just a waste of time. It doesn't add anything to your life. It either takes away from your life. Live peaceably with all men. You know, I was teaching this somewhere. Somebody said, Pastor, it's very hard. Firstly, it started with, you know, they saw something that happened and how I treated the case. I got a car one time. I wanted to keep it for bolts so that I could be getting some little stipends. And the guy that sold the car lied. You know, and the guy had a terrible fault with the gear, but he said he didn't know about that. And What we're getting, we detected it a little bit, but somehow we just felt like it was not really pronounced. And it left us with so much headache. We had to now put some money and fix it. So my guys that were involved, one or two of them said, "Sir, just give us the permission. We'll catch this guy and we'll deal with him." They are Christians. I mean, my boys, this church. We'll deal with him. He will provide. Sir, if you align these people like this, they are advising me now. If we align these people like this, this is how we'll be doing. So I said, no, don't worry. We will use our money and do it. I used my money. I tried somehow. We got it fixed. It became perfect. So I said, I'm not so excited. This guy just sell the car. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I was actually giving the guy a benefit of doubt. See, one day he called me. He said, one of the sensors that we used to repair the gear was in the car, sir. I don't know whether you can help me with that sensor. I said, but you said you never worked on the gear. How comes you change? He said, ah, sir, so sorry. Please just help me with the sensor. I'm very sorry. The man that has the sensor has been disturbing me. And I said to him, but you lied to me that you never fixed the gear. How comes you forgot the old sensor of the gear you changed? So you worked on the gear. He was mute on the phone. And I said, I'm so disappointed in you. I never thought you were lying to me. Hallelujah to Jesus. For a moment, I felt so bad. I felt like, let me just take the police and go and meet this guy for lying. But of course, there was nothing there. It's all past and gone. So I just ended the call. Hallelujah to Jesus. Why I allowed everything to slide was because God can still use me to preach to that person. God can send me tomorrow to that person. In fact, God will do it. I know God. You know, God will send you to people you don't like. And you can't tell him, I don't like that person. Me and her, we have a problem. You can't say, she took my boyfriend away. So I don't like her, sir. Or you are going to preach and you see somebody that you hate. You are preaching, you now turn and said, I'm preaching to everybody, but you should not, you don't be hearing my preaching. No, this is for. You can't be used by God if you behave like that. You are being childish. You can't hate anybody as a Christian. Hope you know that. It's a very difficult statement to say, but it's the truth. You can't hate anybody as a Christian. Say, I don't hate anybody. Look at your neighbor, say, I don't hate anybody. And truly, if you go back home today, make sure you don't hate anybody. That's one way to walk in the glory of God. Hate will limit you. It's like cobwebs in the realm of the spirit. You'll be limited. If you observe, this is more difficult than prayer. When they say pray in tongues, I say walk in love. There's even a man of God in this nation. He read the words of Jesus. He said he does not believe that part. You know what Jesus said? He said, pray for your enemies. He said, that preaching is not for him. Now, you represent Jesus. Jesus told you to pray for your enemies. You rejected his words. He said, that part of the Bible is not for me. Do you know what it means? Hey, no movement here. Everybody focus. You know where Jesus stood from and said, pray for your enemies? It's from a very high wisdom. Are you listening to me? For him to say, pray for your enemies, it means everything was in place. It means they have no probability of touching you. You know, I heard somebody said some things. He said, the reason for prayer for him is that we should be able to kill our enemies. If not, our enemies will kill us. And then our enemies will repent. But we'll be already dead. So he said, kill your enemies now before they kill you. So that when they kill you, they don't come and repent, and you are there in heaven crying, yet they are dead. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you know that's a point, but it's a basic point? It's for children. Let me show you Revelation 6 and 8. We are still coming back here. Everybody focus. We're about to be done. Revelation 6 and 8. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat was dead, and etc. Next part of scripture. I hope I'm in the right place. Verse 10, right? Alright, give me verse 10. Alright, from verse 9, so that you understand. Everybody, I want you to read. 1, 2, go. From verse 9. 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9. 1, 2, read. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw the souls for the word of God and for what? They were killed by the enemies, by sword. They loved Jesus and were killed. They were martyrs. See the next part of scripture. And they saying, holy unto you what? And what? Our blood on those who what? They are in heaven, no? But they are saying, God, kill these people on the earth that killed us. Isn't it unbelievable? Because some of us say, when we get to heaven, we are in peace, we are in a better place, and things like that. But these folks here were in heaven. Right? Wonderful Christian, isn't it? And they say, God, you have to avenge all those guys that killed us. And of course, God doesn't answer those kind of prayers. If not, Paul would have not been an apostle. But this is the focal point. Now, a little part of me trying to agree with him in a very basic level is that you should know God so much so that your enemies will not touch you. Are you listening to me? You can know God so much that you forget your enemies. And you are not even conscious of their existence. Listen to me carefully. I always give this analogy. Most of us here would have taken flight, isn't it? If I have taken flight, say amen. Can I have two people come? Two people. Rush out. One taller, one shorter. Yes. You believe you are taller? Come. I want people to be on the same height probably. Okay, no. I need somebody of the same height. Not you yet. My man. I like your waves on the hair. It makes sense. Same height. All right. Are they of the same height? Almost, right? Now, let's use them. The Bible says, O ye mountain that stand before Zerubbabel, you shall be brought low. Now, they are of the same height. The mountains standing before Zerubbabel are probably some of the problems we have in this world. Are we together? It was a prophecy from the Old Testament. That when Jesus is come, dead, buried, and resurrected, every mountain standing before us will be brought low. Are we together? Focus. You know, when you move, people are looking at you, people. I don't know what kind of power is that. Please look at me. And no movement. Amen? So it was a prophecy for the New Testament. And many people think that then the mountain stand before Zerubbabel being brought low is that who should be Zerubbabel now? Okay, Zerubbabel, you should be Zerubbabel. Bow, Ben. Okay, no, you are the mountain before Zerubbabel, right? Come to the front. You see, you're of the same height. Just ahead. So the mountain standing before Zerubbabel will be brought low because it's obstructing us, isn't it? So most Christians think that God will just. This is what they think that happens. No! God did not do that. You see, what God did was that be of the same height. He said, all ye mountains standing before Zerubbabel, you will be brought low. He didn't try to do anything to Satan, even though he emptied Satan's ability. What he did was to us, he took us up. He said, now we are seated together with Christ. He then said, far above what? And what? So he didn't take Satan low by trying to push him downward. No, he took us up so well that when we look from our perspective up there, we don't even find Satan anymore. How many of you have truly taken a flight? You should understand what I'm trying to say. That you can be on the same plane with somebody before you took a flight. But if you go upwards, the person can still be in the same location. And when you try to look from up there, you will not find the person again. Because from where you are, you cannot see the person. But the person is there. And if you can come down a little bit, you will find the person there. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? You know why a lot of us fight the devil is because we are on the same plane with the devil. We don't have a consciousness that we are seated far above what? Principalities and powers. And that fight, sitting there is not a function of the physical. It's a function of your mind, your mindset. The word of God should prevail so much in your heart that you see yourself in your consciousness far above Satan. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Mean that we don't drive Satan by anointing oil, anointing water, or anointing anything. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You know, many years ago, I put Bible under my pillow and slept, and I was still pressed by witches. So I said, what is wrong? Many years ago, I had an encounter, demonic encounter. My auntie in the house was replicated into two, so one was at the door and one was sleeping. So I wanted to shout, and they blocked my mouth. When they blocked my mouth, I couldn't shout. Have you been there before? When they said, then you are struggling for a moment. I couldn't say anything. So she now woke up and she wanted to touch me. I said, don't touch me. Don't touch me. She said, why? I said, I've seen you too. I don't even know which one is the real you. There's one at the door. There's one here. Now the devil used her whatever body and replicated her into two. Are we together? I doubted her. She almost left the house. I was still doubting her personality. But this is the lesson. I now took Bible the next day and put under my pillow and slept. In my mind, there is no way Satan should come and press me when the Bible is my foundation. But see what the devil did. They came and pressed my head on the Bible. That's when I understood that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What would change you? Has a physical Bible here? Yeah, just give me. What would change your life is not a physical Bible. All of you here don't have a physical Bible? Alright. You people are struggling in sin. I can bet you. Because technology now spoils everything. Everybody have it in their tablet or their phones. They say open to John 3:16. Sir, which version? Then WhatsApp message will enter and say, I did church. We'll chat later. Be joking. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not physical. You can put this and sleep with it. Pour water inside, drink it. If Satan hits you, you still die. It's powerful when the word of God is not just here, but it's in your heart. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. He said, by subjecting every thought and ideology that seems to raise itself above the knowledge of God. Where is knowledge? Knowledge is in your heart, in your mind, isn't it? Where do you subject knowledge? In your mind. The battlefield is your mind. You fight inside your mind. Before you do any battle, Satan suggests it where? In your mind. How do you win the devil? In your mind. Your body only responds when anything has prevailed in your mind. Your body is a slave to any ideology in your mind that is standing, that is prevalent. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? So if you say I'm victorious in your mind, you'll be victorious in your life. As a man thinketh, so is he. Are you all listening to me tonight? That is why I don't have regards for the enemy. You know, a preacher preached about me in this town. He said, I went somewhere, I heard that the young man is saying that the devil is not powerful, blah, blah, blah. And I laughed. Satan is not powerful. I was not designed, or I did not become a preacher to publicize Satan. I'm not a hype man for the devil. You know, there are some preachers that are hype men for Satan. There are some demons under the waters. They call them Leviathans. He said, the Leviathan is not a regular demon. they are describing demons, they are in the spirit. You know, we are not designed to market Satan. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What is Leviathan? We don't care. You are not designed to know about demons. He said, I want to know about demons. You're reading a book called Demonology. He said, why are you reading? He said, I want to know demons so that when I see it in somebody, I will deliver the person. Jesus did not even know which demons, because he didn't care about that wisdom. He that knew all things, he would have said, legions come out from this body. What did he say? Who are you? What's your name? Is that not what he said? The only thing Jesus didn't know about in this life is Satan and his cohorts. He forgot them. Because in his heart, they are not a function. They are not a reality in his heart. In heaven, they've been driven away. Woe to the inhabitants of the head because of what? The accuser of the brethren as what? That means in heaven, you don't find Satan. He's not a reality in heaven. Now, what is his prayer for us? As it is, so shall it be. For we now who are Christians, there's no Satan in our world. If anybody be in Christ, is a new creation. A new man and a new world. How do I know that he has come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord? In and what? Of demons? Innumerable multitudes of what? where the spirit of men are made what? He said you have come toward Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament or the New Covenant. That's why when you come to churches, they teach the word, some people will sleep, who are prayer warriors, they can still sleep. Because they were designed to hear things like, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fire. God is not fire. He had manifested through fire, clouds in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he's a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, as we behold Jesus, we are transformed like him. So the glory of God is not smoke, fire, cloud. You are the glory of God in the New Testament. There is nothing more dangerous than you in the realm of the Spirit. You hold the highest place. You are seated together with Christ. Nothing more beautiful than you. So you say, Pastor Simon, you don't talk about an encounter. Encounter is what shapes the life of Christian. Encounter. Listen, we have encounters every day. We are in a bundle of encounters. What is more bigger than encountering God himself? How do I know that? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, God's Word is him. Meaning when I carry this Bible every day, and I open it and I'm reading the Bible, I'm interfacing with God himself. Is that not an encounter? It's just that some of you think it's a lighter encounter. This is God himself. When you open the Bible and you are looking at scriptures, you are interfacing with God himself. He's the Word. And if you have encountered God, who is more beautiful again to encounter? If I've seen God, who are angels? Moses says, show me your face. Haven't seen many angels. He had seen, Moses was flowing with angels. Went to the mountain, saw angels, collected 10 commandments, laws given by angels, Galatians 3, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly he said, show me your face. And God said, you know, some of you saw a scripture that said Moses spoke to God face to face like a man would speak to his friend. Of course, you understand that in the Old Testament, nobody ever saw God. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? Jesus said that. He said, from where I come, no man has gone, no one has seen the Father except the Son of Man, blah, blah, blah. In the Old Testament, angels stood in the stead of God. So, seeing an angel in the Old Testament was seeing God himself. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why anytime an angel speaks, it will be as if it is God that was speaking. Exodus 3 will affirm that. You will see an angel speaking, and at the end, they will say, and God said. So the angel, a part of scripture made it look like it was God that was speaking when the angel appeared in the burning bush. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? But of course, Moses knew better that he had never seen God. He said, show me your face. And what did God say? He said, I cannot show you my glory. I cannot show you my glory. Meaning the glory of God simply means the personality of God, the face of God. But the Bible says, we with open faces, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being what? Yet you don't find this attractive. Even as I'm saying it now, it's not even exciting to you. Because what is more exciting is that you had an encounter with an angel. And you see an angel giving you stuff. That's what more is more exciting, relatable. But what said you have seen God? In the person of Christ Jesus. By his word. You know, somebody one time told me nobody can see God. I said, then we're in trouble. He said, how? What did the Bible say in 1 John 3:6? Let's read together. 1 John 3:6. Everybody, are you ready? Let's read together. 1 John 3:6. Read. Whoever. So if you abide in him, it is the same effect as seeing him. It is the same effect as what? Knowing him. Are we together? So if you have seen God, you can sin. If you abide in God, you can sin. If you have what? If you know God, you can sin. So I can remove abide and say, if you have seen God, you can sin. I can remove sin and say, if you know God, you can sin. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? To have seen God is to know God. And to know God is to abide in God. And the same effect, you will not sin. Now, if you think you cannot see God, that means you will always live in sin. He said, if you have seen him or have known him, then you cannot continue in sin. So if you think you are in sin, probably you have not seen him. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he said, when we see Jesus, like a mirror, we have been what? Transformed. And if you are transformed like Jesus, then 1 John 4:17, you have no fear until the day of his coming. Why? Because as he, so are you where? In this present world. Amen. This is the reaction when we teach the word of God. This is the best reaction. Because he said, my ways are not the ways of a man. My thoughts are not the things. So when we teach things like this, you should be like, are you sure this guy knows what he's saying? But this is a reality. You are not created to live like men. You are not a merman. This ignorance has made many people to lower their life, cheapen their life to some kind of things. That's why we hear that people become drunkards, people become cultists, people become prostitutes and the rest. Because they don't know the quality of their personality. You are bigger than a thief man, an idoma man, an evil man. You are bigger than all of these things. You know, in my wedding, they said we should take alcohol. I told them, no, it cannot be part of the culture. They said, it's part of the culture. And I said, no, I come from a higher kingdom. And in our kingdom, we don't take alcohol. They almost wanted to scatter the thing. And somehow, you know, just marry a lady that is in love with you. The lady came and cried, and, you know, not really cried, but the brother came and, you know, they just spoke and they said, we must marry this man. This man is our own. They should break the culture. And they brought me back and gave me the woman. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But I told them, I'm not giving nobody alcohol. It's not my culture. Now they say somewhere, they say, if you don't do that, they will not block your woman's belly. Those are for people that don't pray in tongues. Those things. If you peep inside my, if you ever see me in a pot, I'll stop preaching. You carry calabash, you stare, you see my face. You can't see me and leave. You just die if you just see me. If you mistakenly even see me, you die. Just like God told Moses. It's not possible. This is how you think. See, whatever is a reality in your mind is a reality in your life. I don't fear the devil for no reason. He can give me coffee, I will drink. Don't you know? Even Satan worked for Jesus in salvation. Hope you know that. The Bible says he said, oh, if I had known, I would have not crucified. So he was left to do the dirty job. No good angel, no human being was that stupid to be the one to champion the killing of Jesus. It had to be somebody who is dirty to do the dirty job. It had to be the devil. When he did it, he thought he killed Jesus, but Jesus said in his word, I have the power to what? But the person that will make that happen had to be somebody stupid. It was the devil. No wonder he came biting his head. If I had known. That is why when people do you bad, plan you bad, you don't start saying that God will punish you. I know you idiot. No. You have the God kind. As he, so are you. The same testimony of Jesus is in your life. They will say, if I had known, I would have not told people that he is this. Because the people came to find out. They say you are this. And when they came, wow, they're in love with you. You know, many years ago, somebody came to the church and said, Pastor, after a service, I've heard a lot about you, but I'm so shocked. She was just looking at me inside my eye. I said, why are you looking at me like this? I heard about you. They say you are wicked, that you are brutal, that you say rubbish, blah, blah, blah. But you are such a peaceful and sweet person. I said, oh. I didn't ask her who said it. That's how she became a member of the church. Somebody that was said, she came to see how wicked I am, and she now loved the wickedness and remained in the church. Hallelujah to Jesus. But I've never asked it today who said so. It's not my business. Because tomorrow, if Jesus says for them, I'll preach for them. Tomorrow, if Jesus said give them 1 million, I'll still give them 1 million. Are you listening? He said, he that loves has passed from death to life. Somebody's looking down on you, calling you names. You don't get offended. It's painful, but you don't get, force yourself not to be offended. Because you know your worth in Christ Jesus. And whatever they are doing cannot reduce the quality of your person. Rather, if you try to react, it will affect the quality of your personality. You will be reduced to whatever they are doing. Are you listening to me? What will you lose being yourself in any situation? Nothing. You only lose the devil, demonic virtues. That's the only thing you lose. You will feel so pain. The devil will just be going away. Everything about the devil, you find it living your body, living your whole system. That's why I said, pride is for weak people. Humility is for strong people. Are you listening to me tonight? These are the things that prove you are a Christian. We're about to step into another year. These are virtues you should work with. I'm not saying that always stay around people that look down. You let me put a balance to this. Even Jesus did not stay around people that look down on him. When you stay around people that look down on you, you can never become your best. Because Because it will make you feel ordinary. Even if you feel you are not ordinary, they will talk to you like you are ordinary. You will not be able to explore your potentials. Find a circle that can allow you to explore God's glory from your inside. Meanwhile, leave the old circle respectfully. Are you listening to me? In a very peaceful way. Jesus, when he was leaving his folks, his hometown, he said to them, he said, a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. Some of you, you are the greatest resistance to your brothers that God have called, your sisters that God have called. Nobody disrespects your brothers and sisters that God called more than you. Imagine Jesus was your junior brother or elder brother, and Jesus wakes up and says, I'm the bread of heaven. What will you say? What would you say to Jesus? Are you mad? You have turned bread. Jesus was somebody else's elder brother. I hope you know. Why do you think John will always be lying on it? Because he felt like Jesus was his elder brother, Joseph was his father. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why John the beloved will always be, you know, doing junior brother on him every time, putting head on his shoulder, not knowing that this man hailed from somewhere different. See, finish, we just enter. Everybody is doing like this to your brother. Celebrate you, sir. You come and say, bro, have fun now. Did they call you, sir? Now, wow. They don't know, say, now my guy you be. Now, when a pastor, now my guy. You see, Miriam too thought like that. She changed Moses' pampas, his elder sister. And suddenly, everybody was scared to talk to Moses in the wilderness. Miriam said, what is the problem? They told her, I said, we're going to forget that thing. And they go meet him. No, I'm going to tell him. She just went. As she was talking, leprosy just fire. Pew! There's no leg again. You think the anointing know who his brother and sister? I said to people online, Pastor Chris is a devil. Pastor Chris, fake man of God. Hey! You know, you are too casual. Bishop this is a thief. You don't know anything about somebody's life. You don't know when he was born. You don't know anything about you. You open your mouth and say anything you want to say. Oh, there, Jesus. Then you say, my business is not working. I've tried everything. You have not tried becoming somebody that keep your mouth closed. You think when you insult and you are done, everything finishes? When the Bible says, touch not my anointed, you think God was joking with you? Or he said, touch not my anointed, but the ones in Nigeria, they saw them. See, but I did not touch anybody with my hand, though. One of your words. Many years ago in our job barracks, I heard some people insulting a man of God. I was just passing. My father used to live there. So I went on break when I was in BSU. I heard them insulting Bishop Oyedepo. Thief. He don't build university. That man a big thief. Ask him, buy it, blah, blah, blah. So the pain in my heart. You know, I told you the experience of somebody that was cutting my hair and insulting me. They didn't know I was a pastor. He was cutting my hair. I said, stop what you are doing now. He said, stop what, sir? I said, stop touching my hair. How much is your money? He said, I've not finished. I said, take your money. I just gave him 1,000 and left. I said, you are foolish. You are insulting men of God. I will never come to your shop again. That's how I left the shop. My hair was like this somehow. No jokes. You know, I couldn't bear it. So I told them, I went and said, good afternoon, everyone. They were just looking at me strangely. They had not seen me in the barracks before because I will come before 1 week, I'm gone. I said, I heard what people were saying about Bishop Oyedepo. I said, if anybody is sure of his source of information here, can you raise your hand? You are very sure where you got this information from. And they were just looking at me strangely. Then I said to them, in all respectfully speaking, if you are not sure of something, why are you talking? Is that not a sign of indiscipline? I said, don't you know, if I had said that's why you are like this, they would have beat me. So I said, don't you think that can cause you to be cursed? Why do I still looking at me strangely? I just walk away. I didn't say a word again. Till today. I think one or two of them met me later on and the rest. We discussed more. That's why I left them. You know, as I'm talking now, some people are still boiling. I lie. When I finish this service, now they are boy, you know, they're an apprentice, you know, the next thief. That's how they call men of God thieves these days. I told somebody prophetic. I'm a prophet by call. So I told one of my friends, I said, look at what is happening in Nigeria. The devil is attacking so much. I said, look at it carefully. Satan has caused people to steal money. Politicians are stealing money. But their attention is on church. Why? Why? They are stealing money, but where is their attention? On church. I say, why? Even politicians now are advising church. During COVID, we gave the highest donation, church. We gave the highest. They are collecting tax, but we added to Nigeria to help. Imagine churches help Nigeria during COVID-19. Yet the church is still a problem. You know, they asked a man, I said, he's still my favorite candidate, but he should be careful. What is the problem of Nigeria? I say he will change night vigil to night shift. I said, let's be sincere. You know, a lot of times, let me end with this, please. A lot of times, Satan steers you towards things. Unknowingly, you are saying foolishness. But you are actually advocating for his agenda. Be very careful. You see this thing, they say one word religion. They are all aiming at Christianity. They don't want one word religion. They just want to stop Jesus being mentioned. Go anywhere that is very, very civilized and the rest. Mention the name of Jesus. Everybody will scatter. They don't want to hear the name of Jesus there. You can mention any other God, they will tell you the history about the God. Just say Jesus. How many of you saw that video of Coca-Cola? About Jesus. How many of you saw that video? So you did not see that video of Coca-Cola about Jesus? Where they said that we don't know that name here. Try to mock the name of our Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. So most people talking, they don't know that they are advocating for Satan's agenda. They don't understand. You know, they ask you a question differently, but you are able to just talk about, you speak about the question, finish your question, you now have to bring church inside. And I ask a question, a sincere question. All of you listen to me now. In our country, if we truly say religion is a problem, what is the problem? Which religion is a problem in this country? Let's be sincere. We all know the answer, even though I will not mention it here. We know. Why is it that nobody has the impetus to enter national TV and say so religion is a problem of Nigeria? If he was wise, that's why he lost the last election. Yet you could not confidently talk about them. It's we. You know what's called see finish. And I said you should be very careful, because if you are not careful, when we tell you you have given, it's not like you are a favorite candidate. It's not that we have not seen anybody up there that we can actually use. It's the truth. See, today, if you keep him and all of these people up there, I will still pick him. But you have to still be wise. And a lot of times, let me tell people something, Christians. It is Christians that know how to even downcast Christians. Well, I've never heard somebody who is a Muslim say he will change night vigil. He doesn't even have the impetus. It is people that come out from amongst us that they have come to night vigil that think they can actually change night vigil to night shift. Imagine that some of us say we don't want to work in Nigeria, we want to only go to night vigil. How does it affect Nigeria? Does it affect Nigeria? Just imagine that some of us say we don't want to work in Nigeria, we just want to be going to night vigil. It doesn't affect Nigeria. Because the problem of Nigeria is what? Leadership. Give us good leaders. And before your very eyes, you have seen a man of God called Bishop Oyedepo, Pastor Chris, you can mention their names, started churches with zinc building. You said they are stealing tithe. Okay, they use the tithe to now have all the branches in the whole world. The word gather. I tell you, if not for churches, some white people would have never entered this country. What are they coming to do here? What do you have? Where are they coming to visit? How many times have white people gathered this? You just say IPPCs. Do you know how Lagos, when you say IPPC, 2 months, 3 months, white people have fooled every hotel, almost every hotel in Lagos, because of Pastor Chris. It's the truth. Somebody started church from Zinc House. He's everywhere in the whole world now. You are not seeing wisdom in that. Meaning, if you give that man this country for 1 week, just 1 week, we'll be flying in the air. Yet your hatred, your pain is that they took tithe. Your own are taking tax. It's not 10%. How many percent is tax? In fact, we don't even know the percent, because it's drag with drag in the shop. How many of you have shops here? You can tell what I'm talking about. Anytime they come, it's not drag, we are dragging. It's your money is 15,000. You say, for what? He said, that's what you are giving the government. What did the government do for me? But in church, you know it's 10%. It's the devil. Are you listening to me? He has come to what? And confuse people. It's succeeding in confusing a lot of Nigerians. If this force you have for church, if you gather it and put on Tinubu for one day, he will repent. One day. It's the devil. When we hear church, there's a way horns just come out on our head. Pure. One time they said, I'll end with this. It's a shame. They said a church in Abuja had a problem of rape. The pastor had a case of rape. Alleged though. They did not confirm it. Alleged. Do you know what Nigerians did? They went and put roadblock on a Sunday that nobody should go to the church. You know that your leaders are stealing. Obvious stealing. Thieves. When have you had mind to go and block White House? That nobody is coming or entering White House. Are you seeing that it's the devil that is moving? That's your love you think you have is not love, it's wickedness. So wake up, Nigerians. Wake up. Go beyond ethnicity. This is our problem. Ethnicity, all this religious foolishness and the rest. Rise beyond it. I mean, I was in the last election, somebody was collecting star to vote another party. Star, bottle of star. In my center. You are selling your destiny and the destiny of your children for bottle of star. Not two bottles, one. You are in a line, they give you change line. I remember the captain of my, where we used to play, but the boy, I had to draw him. I said, are you mad? He said, pastor, they give me bottle. I said, they give you bottle, you want to change you to vote for bottle? Bottle of beer. Some worship their stomach have become their god. They don't think through here again. They think through here. That's why here is getting big. Because all of the thinking is here. Don't be like that. You know, there's a song, every time I want to talk about it, I used to respect myself. There's this song, I think Michael Jackson sang it. Michael Jackson of blessed memory. But I just want to borrow a few words. Is that strange? Michael Jackson fans say it's not strange. I want to borrow a few words because it's not a bad song. And the guy did not really sing all of this useless song they sing today. Oh yeah, shake your bum, but all these stupid songs, you know. Not those kind of, they sing songs that are intelligent. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Not these songs they sing now. If you observe these ones now, if it's these singers you are hoping for, this country will never change. Because instead of talking about what is happening, they are talking about what they are seeing in women. That's the only thing. You know. He was speaking about changing the world. Then he said something like, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself in the mirror and start changing yourself first. Somehow like that. Can you remember the song? Let's not sing it. Amen. So it starts with you. The change starts with you. Go beyond ethnicity. Go beyond all these religious ideas. The next election will come. Hey, the man is my tribe, blah blah blah. Go beyond all of those junks. Who will bring a change? Obviously, track record. When a country, somebody says it's my turn, and that's all. Is it turn by turn? And immediately he said that, I heard even some pastors saying, let's pray for him, he has entered. Check them, the same ethnic group. It's a problem. That thing is headache. Anybody proud of this administration is from the devil. It's not from God. You know, one time I was preaching, they said they'll come and seize your pastor's license. You can seize my pastor's license. Can you seize my revelation? You can seize it. If you force me to leave this country, I will leave. I'm not scared of anything. I'll pack my family and leave. But wherever I am, you'll still be hearing it. They don't used to close. You can't close my mouth. It's the truth. We need to wake up. What are we living for? If not for the glory of God. You know, it was such a shame. I was checking Facebook. I saw one of these great men. I've forgotten his name. Oh, there, Jesus. He was arrested lately. I think a Yoruba man, some sort of... Huh? What? Daily, something like that. Because he was speaking the truth, spitting the truth. He was arrested. And I said, I'm so disappointed that he's not even a pastor, or should I say a Christian. A strong Christian, let me put it like that. Because I'm sure he believes in God. You know, all of these prayer warriors that we saw on Facebook. That's not what will change this nation. You'll be doing your prayer warriors. This nation will still be sinking in your very eyes like this. If you don't know how to talk the truth. Are you all listening to me? Learn to stand for the truth. It's just the honest truth. Even we here as Benway people, we can be blinded sometimes by politics. I've seen it. It's from my local government. It's my brother. But he's stealing. He's stealing. He's standing for a wrong cause. Is that enough reason for him to win an election? Are we together? Are you all listening to me? And I like to say this a lot of times to leaders. See, outside, Benue people should hear this. Benue youth, outside politics, there's a life. You are not designed to be politicians, all of you. Everybody is a comrade in BSU. There's a life. Everybody, you know, they feel that that's where money is. Everybody wants to enter that place. Why a lot of mangoes in this state? Oranges. One time I was coming from Lagos, I saw by the road, oranges rotting. And when one politician come, they'll put leaf on the front of their bikes and be rounding everywhere. I told you a story of one that nearly hit my side mirror. He now used his head and said, there's a side mirror here, stop. And I told him, I said, if you had hit this thing, you'd have paid. Even though I don't want him to pay, because of what he's doing, you'll pay. So wake up. Let's become, you know, some people are thinking, one day my money will come. Now lie. Wake up. One day I go buy a limousine. Now lie. Wake up. Push. Tell somebody push. I'm not saying become a Yahoo boy. That's not what I'm saying. Wake up. Set yourself on fire. Push. Nobody is coming to help you. Don't think one angel is coming from heaven and you're waiting for him. He's flying and coming to answer prayer. Wake up! Think. Wake up in the night and think. Think! Push. I hear you somewhere. Bless. Don't think anybody is coming to change you. I've seen plenty of doctors who are tech guys today. Why will they change? You think they have passion for souls? Most soldiers today in this country, they have little or no passion for open Nigeria. The only thing that made them is the salary. I'm trying to make you understand that, brothers and sisters, you have received everything for life and godliness. Pursue God, get the money. Don't just sit down. Pursue God, get the money. I don't want to make it look like you should pursue money. Get the money. You have ideas in your head. Explore them. Don't sit down. Who wrote it down that you must get to 50 before you become a billionaire? You can. See it. Push it. Go and farm. I heard somebody build how many houses by farming. I said, what? I never knew things like that happened. I'm farming now. I'm proud. Pastor Simon, a farmer. Anything they do, when I see that money is there and I can do it, I do it. I want to become more than a billionaire, if there's anything there. He said, that anointed my head with what? My what? Don't sit down and say, that anointed my head with my cup runneth over. Ooh. Let's start putting Mali in episode 5. You will be broke. You will be broke. The blessing is an empowerment. When we are done confessing, go and walk. When Isaac was blessed in a land, God told him to till the land in the dry season and plant it. A dry season. Everybody was sleeping. He was tilling ground in dry season. In the same year, the Bible says he reaped and became the richest in the town. Are you hearing me? You want to become the best teller? Work hard. Go and read about fashion design. take your night time, read. No new dress. Not that you do something that nobody has ever wonder where you're coming from. Do something that you even see. In fact, even worldly people, if they see, they'll be like, wow, what's this? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can receive inspiration from heaven. Not that when you finish now and you come, you just do something that everybody will say, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. A barber, call it anything, engineer, design, you can receive inspiration from heaven. Design houses that nobody has ever seen. And when they see, they are asking of you. Are you all listening to me? I said one time, I said fighting for kingdom is actually, is going to be seen every day in your life as you fight to become the best in what you do. You are a doctor, be the best. A lawyer, be the best. You know why? If you become the best, probably you become the next leader in that department. Imagine you are the HOD of medicine in BSU. Which student will complain that a lecturer hates him, that's why he's not passing? God will use it to make life so beautiful for a lot of people. You know, in BSU, I had to go and meet lecturers one or two times to tell them, leave my spiritual daughters alone. But I told myself, I'm not going to be everybody's spiritual daughters in this school. A lot of students will suffer these kind of things. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They want to sleep with you, they will tell you to come and, I mean, you want to have an A or a B or pass a course, they will say, come and see me in an hotel. It happens to you today. We have called sometimes, we have threatened the student, but we don't know everybody. There are some that are victims of these kind of things. But imagine you are the HOD. You know, I reported to an HOD many years ago, and he told me, just leave it, Pastor. Just leave it. I said, leave it when a lady is at stake. He said, Pastor, I'm just advising you to leave it. HOD is advising me to leave it. And I took it upon myself. I went to the person, and I warned the person. Thank God I'm still a graduate. I remember he told me, he said, you will not graduate. I said, if I will not graduate, then you will leave this school for me to graduate. And somehow, God helped me. You know, when I finish making mouth, I go to my secret place. I don't just make mouth. I wrote his name on the wall, on a paper, gum it, you know, with solo tape. I started calling his name and warning him in the spirit. I said, what an ajuju you they use? Be warned. So that when he sleep, he will see me like, ha! Now, we did all of those things, but some people can still be victims if they don't have this understanding. But imagine you became the best computer student. I became the next HOD one day. I'm probably the VC. Will you allow nonsense to happen? No. It will not happen. People will come and over report. Do you know why sometimes they don't report to VC? VC did it in his time. They have evidence. So if you report, they will catch VC too. Everybody has to keep it low-key. But imagine you are the first VC that Satan cannot find anything around. They say something like that is happening to a dear lady. You stand up in your confidence. In the name of Jesus, you shut that man down. Am I saying the right thing? Very, very true. Hallelujah to Jesus. So that's how it's supposed to be. Amen? Have you learned today? Go and become the best. Some of you just got admission. I don't know if there's any new student here. Aim first class. If you have third class, aim first class life. It's all the same in Christ Jesus. Did you hear what I said? If you had third class, or you are going to have third, you know, some of you know you are going to have third class. You can start preparing for a first class life. You know, when you are in 300 level and your CGPA is 1.2. I'm not trying to insult you, but there is another life in Christ. The law of the Spirit of Christ, law of the Spirit of life in Christ can set you free from the law of what? Of failure. You know. Are we together? Become the best. Become a billionaire. Are you listening to me? On Tuesday we said all things are. All things are. We are not pursuing money, but we need this money. Some of you will take this gospel to India, Czech Republic, Japan. Is it whistle will blow for them to hear? We need money. So become billionaires. Pursue it. Hello, fellow billionaires. I say hello, fellow billionaires. The broke people are not responding to me. You don't believe you are a billionaire? Hello, fellow billionaires. Yes, your billions are coming in the name of Jesus. And you are using it to glorify God in the name of Jesus. Be on your feet and thank the Lord. Give Him praise. Give Him worship. We have come to the end of the service. Lift your hands and bless His name.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.